everybody, and welcome to episode 357 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I'm your host, Marco Genez, and today I'm going to talk about some anime. It's been a while since I've podcasted. At least it's felt like it's been a while, for me at least, where I can sometimes do one every other day. It's been almost a week, I think last Tuesday, this past Tuesday. And it's also been a very long time since I've done an episode about anime. And why I'm doing one right now is because the winter 2017 season is coming to an end. Some series have ended. Some are days, hours away from ending. And I thought I would hit a few of them. So this is my recap of the winter 2017 season. Part one. before that, I'm still playing Clicker Heroes, and that's pretty much all I'm playing, except for some games that I have for review and preview purposes. But I really still can't, I don't know what it is, but I'm just in this funk that I can't seem to get out of. And what I hate is that I feel like Zelda can get me out of it. I hate that feeling. Because I don't want to get Zelda, but I really want to play Zelda. And then I think hopefully Persona 5 will do that, which I pre-ordered the day it was available to pre-order because it's Persona. The only game I've ever pre-ordered and will probably ever pre-order for PlayStation 4. Unless there's a Persona 6 that comes out. Well, yeah, because the way Persona works, they tend to stay on the last generation, which is, that's why it's so fun. To get Persona 5 on PS4, since Persona 4 and 3 were both on PS2, never hitting PS3, other than downloadable PS2 versions or whatever, I think. But yeah. Anyway, I'm just hoping that can get me out of the funk, because that's a game I know I'll be playing. Also, if a Switch isn't available to purchase before then, probably won't be getting a Switch. If there is one available easily to purchase, might get a Switch. Might get a Switch. I don't know. I'm a very frugal person. But that Zelda, I still have yet to watch much of it. And I try to avoid listening to people talk about it because I just want to experience it. And yeah, I really just want to touch a Switch. I wish there were demo kiosks, and I'm guessing the reason why there aren't any demo kiosks is because the system itself would just be a hassle to set up in that way, because I don't know if they could almost like glue it to it or something, permanently affixate the Joy-Con controller to the actual Switch tablet. So it could lead to a lot of breakage, especially if you can take them off in these demo kiosks, then it would be easy for a child or someone to accidentally break off the plastic little thing that clips them onto the tablet. And you're not going to set it up where you're using the Pro Controller, because that doesn't come with the system, and you're not going to give someone an experience they're not going to get right out of the box, because that would just be crazy. And also, it could just be that, what games can they really demo? Are you going to have Zelda running? I don't know how well that would be as a demo game. And then you can't really do a 1-2 Switch. I mean, you could, but I think some of them you would need like a really long wire. The ones where you have to pose, or just things in general. You don't want people to be that close to themselves. Did they have Wii demo kiosks? I don't even know if they had... I'm trying to think about demo kiosks in general. They always seem to have ones for the main consoles with, like, Madden and stuff like that running here. Here's FIFA or Madden. And then they had ones for the DS and 3DS up to a point. But I don't remember if they had one for the Wii or the Wii U. And they don't have one for the Switch. Anyway... still in my gaming funk. I don't know what to do about that. Feel like taking a hiatus. But then I feel like if I take a hiatus, when will I get back? And it's also just more so concerning because of, oh, I'm getting like these press releases and all this jazz. And I'm like, oh, well, this actually sounds interesting. And then I play it and I'm like, oh, not so good. But yeah, playing Clicker Heroes. And, well, playing is a very loose term in this sense and a very generous term. But I'm enjoying it for what it is. I don't think I'm yet near to completion, but I only have 3 achievements left to reach level 3600. I'm in the 900s now to hire every hero. I have no idea how many I have left to hire, but I've hired, I don't know, 24 maybe or so is how many I've reached so far. And then to unlock 10,000 treasure chests, and I'm at like 7,700. So that'll probably be the next one, then the heroes, then the 3,600, and then I'll be done. So yeah, and then I'll be like, well, what have I done with my life? Because I like it. I just wish there was something a bit more social about it. I wish there was more of a social integration and just like being able to compare my stats with my fellow friends and whatnot. You can do that slightly with the Xbox app and the achievement section and like the game hub section where you look at the achievements and it shows you're ranked whatever out of your friends in time played in hero, soul, DPS, and number of ascensions and stuff like that, which is nice. I'm happy that Xbox does that. I don't think Sony does that, but I'm not sure. I know they have like the game, they're not hubs, but like community aspects or whatever, and they might do that as well, but I like that. I do think it's annoying with achievements in general that not all the time do they really actually track how much progress you've made in the little achievement section where they have the percentages, like 0%. Okay, I know it's not 0%, so could you give me something there? But no, you can't. But Clicker Heroes, it's free. You don't need to put any money into it. I haven't. Don't think I will. Because I, as much as I'm having quote-unquote fun with it, I don't feel like I've had enough enjoyment out of it to put some money down. I also have a good number of ancients as well. Like, I would definitely recommend if you want to play it, whether or not it's just to get the achievements or whatever, what have you, definitely look up some strategies because there's more to it than meets the eye. It's very mathy. If you like math and numbers, you probably like Clicker Heroes more than you might think. And I've also returned to Gems of War because there was an update however long ago that added some achievements, and that's pretty much the only thing that ever gets me back. It's like, oh, I'm no longer 100% complete with achievements for this game, so now I got to go back and get those. One of them requires a lot of gold towards completing all these various guild things in 1 week, and I could get it easily if I left my guild, the Pixelated Sausage Guild, and moved on to a farming guild, or like, you know, go on to True Achievements or Xbox Achievements to find out a day when everyone's going to be like, okay, everyone go into this and we'll all pay in and whatever. But then I would lose my guild and I don't want to, because despite not being a huge guild, it's still, I think, in the top 100. And I'm proud of that for Gems of War. But I play that now every now and again. So there's that. But nothing crazy. Played a little bit of Styx. Did a video for that. Go to youtube.com/pixelatedsausage to watch that. Or it's on the site as well. That seems okay. Awful writing. Horrible writing. I'm guessing it thinks it's funny when it's actually anything but funny. But yeah, check out that video. Maybe some more videos to come in the future. It's just been a really busy week, so I haven't had time to do much of anything in that in terms of production and all that stuff. Because guess what? The stuff is time-consuming. Creating podcasts and videos and streaming and all that jazz. It's not so simple as 1, 2, 3, switch. But 10 minutes have already passed, and I have yet to talk about anime, which was the actual point of today's show. So, I'm going to do that right now. And before I get to the seasonal anime I wanted to review, I haven't watched an episode in a few days, but I started watching Claymore, and I'm about a little over halfway through, and I've been surprised by how good it is. I'm really enjoying it. It's very Witchery, and I don't know what came first, the books, the Witcher books, or this. Either way, I don't think they were really stealing from one another, whichever one came first. But in Claymore, there are these, it's not really a race of people, but there are these various monster hunters who are called Claymores. They're only female. They tried at the beginning making men into Claymores, but I think the men were just too emotional and too primal, and just they couldn't control their nature. They weren't as well mannered, so they just ended up really losing control and becoming monsters themselves, which is what happens to Claymores when they surpass their abilities or surpass their control. So all the Claymores are females, and they're part human, part monster. And they're all very pale with bleach blonde to white hair. And they can take a lot more damage than a regular human. And they're the only ones who can sense monsters with their little special vision and whatnot. And the only ones who can defeat monsters in reality. And it feels very Witchery. It's like, oh, pale skinned, half monster, half human. Regular humans look not so much down on them. They kind of fear them and think they're kind of weird. The really light-colored hair, the badassery of them all. They all have these various special abilities, too, whether it's super healing or very quick movement or the ability to hear very far away and sense things. It's been following this one Claymore, Claire, who we got a good amount of backstory for, which I thought was nice. We got, I don't know, maybe 4 or 6 episodes after the initial 6 or so, which gave you basically all of her backstory, how she became a Claymore and why she is so determined. And also concerned about certain things, which was nice. And it's following her and this young boy, Raki, who was in this village where she ended up coming in, slaying the monster. And the monster had killed his brother, I believe, and taken over his body. And that's not really spoilery because that's like in the first episode. And then he wants to go with her because they basically, the village kicks him out. And, you know, like, oh, your brother was a monster. You'll probably be a monster too. And then he's like, I can cook. And she's like, oh, I need to cook. Even though she doesn't really need to eat that much to survive and thrive. But I've watched about half of it, like I said, a little more. And I really enjoyed it. I'm not sure where it's streaming. If it's streaming, I have the Blu-ray. And I really like it. Visually, it's not too bad. Some of the animation is pretty nice, but then it can be very minimalist. And there are times where it's like, oh, this is not much at all, where it's just like, okay, she jumped off a cliff and she's falling. And really, it's just a still frame of her. And then you're like moving these slides really quickly. The voice acting is really good. I haven't checked out the dub, but I heard the dub's okay. I might check that out after the fact. But yeah, Claymore, pretty good. Surprisingly good, I'd say. Because I don't usually go for this type of thing. Or at least I feel like they either take themselves too seriously and are ridiculous, or they're trying to be funny and they aren't. But Claymore is serious. It's adult. There's some good drama, and it's surprisingly well written. I don't know how many times I said surprisingly in this little review-ish preview thing, but too many. A surprisingly number of times. So, on to the seasonal anime. I just finished today. I was holding off a few days because I just did not want it to end. I finished Shōgen Roku Rakugo Shinju Sukeroku Futatabi Hen, otherwise known as Descending Stories, Shōgen Roku Rakugo Shinju. And it's a masterpiece. It is an immediate masterpiece. It's been such a pleasure to watch both seasons of Rakugo as they aired, just because it's so special to watch a masterpiece as it's happening in real time, week to week. And that is what Rakugo is. I know last year I put Yuri on top, but the reason for that was, and I don't know if I emphasized this when I was giving out my best of for last year, but the reason was, one, I did really love the show. I love the fact that it was a gay anime that wasn't over the top or playing that up. It was just, you know, these characters are gay and that's that. That's, you know, fine, whatever. It didn't overplay it up or anything. And also just the impact it had across the entire globe and the industry. It was a force to be reckoned with, and it transcended its material in that, you know, plenty of straight men were in love with the show. They weren't like, oh, this is about gay men. Yeah, no, I don't want to watch it. It transcended all of that, which I thought was just very special. And I think it will go down for all of that, you know, in history. And I think it will always be special because of that. And that's why I gave it the nod, just the very slight nod over the first season of Rakugo. But in reality, I think Rakugo is a better show of last year, the first season. Better written, better voice acting. I think visually, while there's a lot more animation and stuff going on in Yuri with all the ice skating, I think the art, design, and direction in Rakugo is fantastic. The animation is really good. You know, there's no flamboyant action scenes or anything like that, but what is there is all very well animated. It's incredibly beautiful. The colors aren't super vibrant. You know, they're somewhat muted and not as saturated and all that, but everything about it is just so lovingly crafted with the utmost care. And I adored the first season, and I adore the second season. They're both incredible. They both follow two different generations, essentially. And one thing that's amazing to me is the fact that in the second season, and I think there was a bit of this in the first season. I mean, there was time passing, but there are significant time jumps across the 12-episode second season, more than one. And yet, while I'm sad about that, and I was disappointed when it happened, just because I want to see all the stuff that happened in that time span, because I just love these characters, I love this world, I love this story, it never hurt the narrative. It still worked. I didn't feel like I was missing out on something important. It's just that I was missing out on being able to see more of these characters that I was disappointed with. Because I could watch this show. I could watch this show for One Piece length levels. I don't know if they'd have content for that. But I can't say enough about it. And I think it has kind of given life to the art of Rakugo as well, which is awesome, and kind of brought that back to life, which if that really is true, that's a wonderful side effect, because I didn't really know much about it, and I find it so interesting, and that's the heart of the show. And the voice acting, I've said this before, but it is incredible. I would go so far as to say it might be the best voice acting I've ever heard. And if they ever do a dub, I've said this before, I know that, I do not envy everyone involved in making that happen. But yeah, highly recommend that. That is on Crunchyroll. All these shows and I'll be talking about are available on Crunchyroll. Both seasons are available as well, just so y'all know. But once again, that is Showa Genroku Rakugo Shinju. There's a subtitle, but that's the first season. Just go watch that if you haven't watched any of it yet. Both 12 episode seasons. And absolutely undeniably incredible. And then I'm going to go in order from best to worst. The other pleasant surprise of the season for me was Demi-chan wa Kararita, otherwise known as Interview with Monster Girls. And I just thought this was a really quiet, pleasant, delightful show. Some people found the relationship between the teacher and the students a little weird and creepy. I didn't think it was that creepy. Only one of the students was really kind of, they played up her being in love with him to a more significant degree. And that was the, what is her thing? The headless one. I keep wanting to say da-da-da, da-da-da-da, da-da-da, but it's not that. Duraran? It's something like that, right? Durahan? The headless one, she has her weird moments with them. And there are like these weird little moments as well with other characters, but it never emphasizes that and never plays it up that much. And I appreciate that about it. And I thought it was really cute and sweet, and I like the art of it as well. It's not super, I mean the production value is clearly not of the same level as other shows, with the animation is limited, but they do well with what they have. And I think it's a great show if you're just looking for something to sit back and relax with, like a Flying Witch or any type of slice of life-y show. Yeah, it's not super funny or anything. It's just nice, sweet, and pleasant. And I really liked it. So definitely check that out. Interviews with Monster Girls, also on Crunchyroll. Then we got two that are sixes for me. So, of course, Rakugo, 10, absolute 10. Monster Girls, and a solid 8. And then I got two sixes here. And I'm just going off what I score them on my anime list. So, first, I'll talk about Anno Exorcist Kyoto Fujouhen, Blue Exorcist, otherwise just the Kyoto Saga, which is the, I don't even know how to describe it, the second season of Blue Exorcist that takes place after like two-thirds of the first season, where the first season split off from the manga and went original, and this is instead following the manga. And it was just kind of fine. I think part of the problem is I could never get over the fact that I thought it was weird the way they handled it and the way that it's this material that it's just the fact that it is a sequel, but not to the entire season, to a point in the first season that I think it's weird to go into if you've never watched it, because they have a bit of like a recap in the first episode or two that can maybe catch you up if you didn't watch the first season. But then if you watch the first season, for me, it was always hard to just completely, I couldn't completely forget what happened and the path they went down in that season. And then this different direction they went with here, with the anime here. The art's nice, you know, the animation's solid, you know, it's not always the best, but the art and the visuals are fine. Voice acting is fine. Six, for your information, if you don't use my anime list, is fine. And that's really just all it is. There are some moments that are better than others. I really enjoyed the last episode because the whole season was fairly weighty and emotional and heavy and dramatic and just kind of angsty. And then the second season was like, hey, we saved the day. Let's just have a lighthearted time through this town. I don't know if they were in Kyoto or in Tokyo or whatever. wherever they were. Let's go up to this tower. Let's do this. Let's just have a good time because we've saved the day and there's no immediate threat. So let's just enjoy ourselves. And I had a lot of fun with the last episode. So I thought the majority of the series was just fine. But I really enjoyed the last episode, which I watched in a car on my iPhone. But it was a nice little palate cleanser for the angsty season that was the Kyoto Saga. And then the last show I'll talk about today is Kono Subarashi Sekai ni Shukufuku wo 2, otherwise known as Konosuba, God's Blessing on This Wonderful World 2, otherwise known as simply Konosuba. And I thought it was pretty disappointing. I didn't love the first season, but I thought it was, you know, pretty funny. You know, it was a nice, silly little show. Nothing too amazing. You know, a nice little twist. But then the second season, I just thought was not that funny for the most part. I think it tried a little harder. And it didn't always land. There was one episode, I think episode 6 or so, that I thought was like, oh man, this is great. I hope they're going to stick with this and it's going to be this good from now on. And it wasn't. And the episode that I really liked was the one where they go into this like dungeon or whatever and they meet this thing that can take over people's bodies. And it ends up taking over the body of... what is her name? The masochist knight who just likes to be beaten. Because this juxtaposition of her enjoying pain and this thing wanting to inflict, like using her as a shield and stuff like that. I just thought it was amusing. But I just thought it fell flat a lot for me. And Konosuba, even the first season and this season, has always had been a problem for me in terms of the dialogue, in that it can at times come out like a machine gun and the subtitles are just blasting across the screen, and me being dyslexic and having trouble at times, it's just like I have to rewind it, and that hurts the momentum and the flow of it all. And I'm like, just slow down, please. Just calm down for a moment so I can read what you're saying. I don't know where that voice came from, but yeah, I just thought it was pretty disappointing. And I can't remember much of it. I mean, it just ended and it's already forgettable. And I didn't realize the last episode was the last episode. Just like in the last season, I didn't realize it was a 10 episode season, and then it ended. And then this one was 10 episodes as well. And then it ended. I was like, oh, whatever. I guess I'm done with this. So yeah, that is Konosuba Season 2. Just kind of whatever. I know a lot of people love it. I'm in the minority there. So if you enjoyed it, good on you. But, you know, maybe you should check out Interviews with the Monsters as well. And if you have not watched Rakugo, get on it, because it is in-friggin-credible. I have a hard time believing any series for the rest of this year will top it. I'm already willing to call it probably the best anime of 2017. But, you know, I'm always open for surprises. I was not expecting Rakugo to blow me away last year, so anything could happen. But it's going to be really hard to top it. But that will do it for today's show. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Kuznets. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, my anime list, Steam, at PX Sausage, pretty much everywhere at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm TheKush3. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, the other podcasts we have, like Pixelated Radio and the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast. And there's also the art that I post there, which if you like, you can go over to pxsart.com and order a print or two via there. I'm thinking about switching to Society 6 because I just think the high shipping cost of imprint scares a lot of people away. If they, especially if they don't want to get a lot of stuff, you know, it's an expensive cost. I think it's like $10, which is a lot if you just want to buy one print for like $18, and then it's like, oh my god, now it's $28 because of the shipping. Even though they pack it well, and their print quality is really nice, it's still a pretty price as well. And then if you'd like to support the site in general and everything we do, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and become a patron of Pixelated Sausage. And of course, if you haven't already, please do go over to iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe to the show, because that really does help and shows us that you care. And also, I mean, it just helps us stay high in the charts and helps other people find us more easily. So if you could do that, greatly, wonderfully, delightfully, lovingly appreciated. And yeah, that will do it. Go click some heroes, everyone.